There were a few bright moments. I thought the run defense at times was fairly decent. But as we've talked about a lot, that's a tough game for us right now in this program. It's hard to get your arms around getting excited about playing at Alabama. But the good news is it's over. There weren't a lot of major injuries. And we got our paycheck, and we get a chance to get a win against Alabama this week. Indiana this week.
Indiana. For those of you that are just joining us on the iTunes or the feed because you couldn't hear it live, I just pressed record. So this is the 94th edition of the GoMeanGreen.com
I got a call about that today.
Too many things going on. So this is the 94th edition of the GoMeanGreen.com Barbershop Podcast. We are talking about the Alabama game from last week. You know, Harry, it's one of those things that last week there was a few things we saw. It was on TV, so we got to see a lot. I'll tell you one thing that's just still disturbing me is it just seems like the offense is not clicking. They still seem a little lost. And I had other people in my house that hadn't seen North Texas play all year, didn't know anything going on, and they're going, man, those guys look lost.
Well, and I'll tell you something. When you think about this team's offensive identity, what does it point back to? In my mind, that's Lance Dunbar. And Lance Dunbar has not been himself. I don't know, you know, there were mention on the coach's show last week about the concussion and that Coach Mack himself is saying that Lance doesn't seem to be himself, isn't making the plays that he would normally make in that Houston game. And I think he's struggling. And, again, against Alabama, it's really hard to tell. I mean, they've got, 12 different NFL draft choices on that team. But still, I don't see him clicking on all cylinders as we did in that Kansas State game to close out the year last year. I will say this. I do see some good things out of the offensive line. Let's be honest. That offensive line gave pretty decent protection against a very tough defensive line with Alabama. And there have been some bright spots, but I agree with you. It is still a offense that's searching for an identity.
Now, I don't recall, but McNulty didn't play at all against Alabama, did he?
McNulty did play in spots.
Didn't see him that much.
Yeah, he was in spots, and they're trying to – it's really odd, you know. It's like Thompson will have some success and get a drive going, and it seems like they're trying to give McNulty the chance to get – the touchdown or score the points. And I really questioned some of those decisions in the Alabama game. Clearly they both bring two different things. Thompson is the better of the passer in that he, I think, understands the offense better and where the receivers are going to be. McNulty is more of a multi-purpose threat and has better legs, can run. I'm looking forward to this game this week because we're going to, again, against Alabama, it's really hard to give an adequate judgment against anybody.
We're in our fourth game, and I'm still kind of wondering where we're at. We've played three teams so far, and the combined losses among those three teams is zero. They haven't lost a game. No. We've played three teams that are undefeated. They haven't lost any games. We've played FIU, which could run the table. They're going to be strong in the belt, no doubt. Houston just keeps pulling them out, and they're looking good. They didn't really – just wasn't a barn
burner. Tech, yeah,
but still, they're still looking good. And what can you say about Alabama? So we've played one of the toughest three scheduled games we've played in years. So what do we have? Well, you know, wait till the belt. Now, you always want to win those games, and it all goes back to, you know, the years we had when Dickey was here, and we were really good in conference play, but never could pull off one during the rest of the schedule. Well, here we are, and we just getting thumped.
Well, and you recall my conversation with Newey Scruggs. That's where he bowed up on me. Yep. Was, hey, look, you guys had success under Dickey for those 4 years and went to bowl games, and you didn't support the program to the level you should. But the reality of it is, you know, every year with Dickey, can you name one non-conference game that we won in that time period to open up the season? And so
I think other than Baylor, which was not exactly their high flying year, you can't really pick one.
There weren't a lot, and it does have an impact because you've got those students that are showing up for the first time. They want to see a winner. So, you know, the scheduling thing's challenging. I feel for Rick Villarreal in that, you know, we have to generate some revenues to support the program. But I would like to see not an Alabama or an LSU. I would prefer to see maybe a Clemson, okay, or a team that is not at the very top of the country. And unfortunately, with Georgia on the future schedule, LSU, it looks like it's going to be more of the same.
We're going to continue to see those. So, yeah, the schedule, it could be a lot better, obviously, this year when, you know, Iowa, Tasty just put on here in Iowa.
Yeah, that was just going to say, great. Tasty just pointed out that we just found out today we've got a series with Iowa, which is exciting. I mean, that's a good game for us. I really do like that, and I'm sure Coach Mack had something to do with that.
Yeah, that's something good for us. You know, all this realignment talk, and actually everybody's sick of it now because it ends up being a whole lot of really nothing. There's not a story out there right now. It's just back and forth and what's going to happen. Yesterday, it looked like you could have a Conference USA Big East tie-in, you know, and everything was just looking that we could be left out. Now it's back to this other way, and we still could pick up some pieces and put something together. We just don't know. And unfortunately, we're not one of the schools that's going to be making the decision and the announcement first. We're going to have to wait till the trickle-down effect.
And there was a post, there was an article I posted on the board that I thought really summed it up well. It was from the Central Florida beat writer, the Central Florida blog, and they were basically saying that, you know, Central Florida needs to keep doing what they're doing, and that is winning ball games, improving their facilities, improving their academics, and you got to feel like there's going to be an opportunity down the road. I'm not one of these guys that on the board that you see say, they're going to shut the door and it's never going to open again. I don't buy into that. I think as long as you're improving yourself, winning ball games, increasing your fan base and your season ticket base, that there are going to be opportunities presented to a school like North Texas because of our location and the size of our student body. There's a lot of potential fans out there, and I think that that's going to play to our advantage as time goes on. Realignment, it's crazy. I talked to you earlier today. I'm really getting sick of realignment because it's taken away from the actual football that we like to enjoy in the fall. It's dominating the headlines, but it's important, you know, because let's be honest. A new conference with teams that we identify with more, that we can get more fans to show up for games, is appealing to us. And there is an opportunity potentially at the end of all this for there to be some change, and we'd like to see North Texas benefit from it.
Yeah, there's no doubt. All right, Harry, so looking at Indiana, and we're going to get RV on here in just a few minutes, you know, what are our chances? Is this our most winnable game of the season?
I don't know about the season. I think
So far, it's definitely.
I think this is the biggest opportunity game. I would compare this to, like, what Rice was that year with Dodge, where essentially you're up against a team that you do have a chance to win against. I think the line is somewhere around 6 or 7 points right now with Indiana. We can line up and play against these guys. They really haven't played anybody compared to who we've played. And so I think that might make the line a little bit off center. We've got to execute. We can't turn the ball over. But I really look at this as it could be a huge boost behind this program to beat a Big Ten team at home in front of a big crowd. And let me tell you this, Evan. I think we're going to have a really nice crowd for this game. I've had in my business more interest from clients about this game than I did about the Houston game because a lot of people have been transplanted here from the Midwest, and Indiana never comes to this area. So I think it's a really neat opportunity for North Texas, and I just hope that they will execute and put the past 3 weeks behind them.
Yeah, I think so too. And, you know, let's talk about it. And somebody looked this up for me because I got so much stuff going on right here now, but what was the home attendance for Indiana's home games? Have they played one or two? I'm not sure, but somebody maybe look up the box score and see what their attendance was. I mean, are they pulling in crowds similar to some of the other, like, Conference USA type schools? Or
I don't have that number off the top of my head, but we can pull that. I'll tell you this, Evan, they're a basketball school. I mean, Indiana, I mean, you probably saw the movie Breaking Away. I mean, it's a beautiful campus, but basketball is king there. And they, you know, they're in that difficult Big Ten conference that it's hard to win in football. So, but they just hired a new coach, Kevin Wilson, who was a guy who his name came up as a possibility for North Texas head coaching spot. He's a very good coach. He's very defensive minded, and he was at OU, you know, as an assistant prior to going to Indiana. So they're expecting big things out of him. And they certainly have a great school and a great tradition in basketball to recruit to. Football's not always been their forte.
Yeah, it looks like a couple of guys put on their 38, 40,000 for some of their games. So, you know, I mean, it's they have a good following. I mean, TCU couldn't draw that.
No.
And so, I mean, and we're talking about, you know, we've got the new stadium. People are coming to it. We still managed to get 20,000, 18,000, which is not great numbers, but we've won 10 games in 5 years. I mean, you know, we do not have a great product here we're pushing. You can only get so many people. I mean, we're fans, and everybody on this board are fans that follow thick and thin. But you got a lot of people that are going to jump on the bandwagon and start winning, as is anybody. And that will bring us more fans.
I think it's funny you mentioned that, because Brett Vito is not going to be on tonight because we've got Rick Villarreal. But Brett and I had a conversation, and he's actually in the chat room right now. But I'm going to tease a story that he's running tomorrow, talking about it's been – 75 games since North Texas was a winning program, and just talking about how things have changed in that, you know, because you remember we were going to bowl games, we were doing great in recruiting.
Well, I know it's been 94 podcasts since we've had we've done 94 yeah. podcasts for 10 wins.
Yeah, the podcast has not been good for the
maybe this is the
green
problem.
Karma. Maybe
this could be the
shut
problem.
This thing down.
Yeah, we no. really should. No, I mean, it's you got to wonder what it is, but you know, we're hoping we're going in the right direction, and we don't need to get off on too many tangents. But you know, we just hope that it'll come back around, and you know, we've our schedule. You know, start looking towards next year and everything, and we've got very winnable games coming up. We've got Indiana.
We've got the Sun Belt, and the Sun Belt honestly is, you know, with the exception of Florida International right now, and maybe Troy, those are some games that we should be able to win. And what are you looking for? Man, if we can get four or five wins this season, that's a step in the right direction. That's what you need to show recruits to say, hey, we're heading, we're getting this ship turned around.
All right, guys, we're going to take a quick break here in a second, and we're going to get RV on. Start loading up the questions, serious questions, serious questions. You know who you are, John. Takes a great. you know, Brett's in there. Brett can also add some stuff. Anybody's got a question for him? We got some great tools here. Should have said tools. We got some great things here to get some questions out there. But anyway, you guys go ahead and think about what to ask RV. I'm sure he's going to want to talk about the game. If anybody has questions about some issues with the first game, the stadium experience, if anything's changed for this week, bring them up. It's a great time. So we're going to go ahead and pause the we're going to mute the Ustream. If anybody comes into the chat room and asks what's going on, if you could just tell them that we are muting the Ustream, and we will be back shortly with RV.
I got to take it on.
Ready?
Go.
All right. We are back, and on the phone with us is our esteemed athletic director for the University of North Texas, Rick Villarreal. Rick, thanks for joining us.
Oh, glad to be with you guys.
Rick, you know, so much has happened in the last few weeks. The new stadium, you have got to be higher than a freshman in Clark Hall.
Yeah, well, it has been an exciting and long 3 weeks, and you know, I hope everybody enjoyed the stadium, and it was something to see, to be honest with you, to stand up in on the top level and look down over the tailgating and the traffic getting in fairly easy and getting out fairly easy, and people having a great time, and you know, especially around kickoff, to have the atmosphere inside that we did, I thought it was pretty special. And to be honest, Kevin Sumlin at the end of the game, as I was walking off, ran over and said hi. We know each other, but he made the comment. He said, "This is incredible. This is nothing that we expected. This is a special place." And so, you know, it was a lot of fun.
Rick, I mean, everybody here is, as we've talked to, everybody was there. The game time experience was excellent. The tailgating, everybody had a great time. And, you know, the complaints, you know, there's always going to be somebody. But I think you guys really dodged a bullet. And I just have to say that well done job by you and your staff for this. I know you guys had to be preparing for it for months.
Well, I think a lot of times, you know, you don't people think that there's not a lot of planning that goes on, or, you know, we'll take hit and miss. I would tell you that we probably spend as much time on parking and getting people in and out of the facility as we did anything. And, you know, I think that kind of proved itself out on Saturday night when people were able to get out of the, you know, back onto the highway in 3 and 4 minutes. And I don't think very many people sat in line for very long getting out of the parking lots and on their way from the game. So, yeah, there was you know, there were some glitches and some things that we knew and things that we saw. Some of that, we had a little problem with the sound system early. but not things that can't be correctable, be corrected fairly easy. And we've been working on those for the last 2 weeks, and so we hope round two is even better than round one.
RV, was that that's feedback deal? Was that because somebody put, one of the guys from Houston actually put that was the ref turning his mic off and on rather than muting it? Was one of the issues there? Was the ref's mic?
Yes, we had a problem with the ref's mic, and it was exactly because he was turning it off and on, and when he can mute it. And but we had some other situations. There were some, you know, you got that much wire running, you get it all running, right, running for the first time during a game, and there's some things that come out. So we had to get some things on the mixer board stabilized and a few other things. But I think by the end of the day, we had it rolling pretty good.
Go ahead.
RV, we can't have you on without talking about the subject that's dominating the headlines right now, which is realignment. And obviously, we're in the Sun Belt. We're trying our best to compete in the Sun Belt, win championships in the Sun Belt. But there's, you know, a lot of stuff going on with the Big 12, you know, possibly disbanding and now coming back together, and the Big East losing two schools to the ACC. Can you just kind of give us a state of the union as far as what's going on for North Texas as far as realignment in the Sun Belt?
Well, the only thing that I can say at this point is that we had a conference call yesterday as Sun Belt Conference and talked about, you know, what was important to us and the fact that we're all stable. And some people might look at that and go, well, you know, that's not a big deal. But I think there is a lot to all the teams that are in the conference being stable and committed to what we're doing, and you know, looking at the possibilities of, if some things did happen, what might be our moves to strengthen our own situation. Because there are some conferences out there that, you know, 36 hours ago they were dead, two of them. And then all of a sudden now you have, you know, the Big 12 looks like it's going to stay together, and the Big East looks like it's going to try to grow and stay together. That may create some movement in some other conferences, might not, just depends on who they decide to build with. So, you know, the thing that we do and I do on a regular basis is stay in touch with people in conferences that I know to kind of keep our finger on the heartbeat of what's happening. But, you know, in this game that's being played right now, it's we don't get to be the leaders in the process. You know, this is going to be a trickle down, and you know, that may sound bad, but it's not. You know, it's not derogatory in the way that we say it. It's just that, you know, what happens in the Big 12 is going to happen before it happens in the Sun Belt or the MAC or the Mountain West or any of those places. Because of the past conference alignments and stuff, those become what people feel are more valuable spots, and so that's the ones that have become the biggest part of the equation. So, you know, until those things actually happen and start to make some sense, you know, it's hard for anybody to talk about anything, because, as you said, you know, the Big 12 yesterday is half of it's at the Pac-10, and you know, some are scrambling to get to try to get into the Big East, and then today, you know, they're back together, and you know, you may have one more movement with Missouri, but they, you know, now they start to talk about what their growth pattern is. So, you know, as those growth patterns move, then it will help us as far as kind of looking at where we might fit into the puzzle. And right now, that's, like I said, is in solid in the Sun Belt Conference, but that's as everybody's saying is. That you know, you want to be aware of what's going on and how you can be in the best shape when it's over with.
You've had three games, Rick, against pretty much top-notch competition, you know, the most recent being Alabama. What are your thoughts about where the program is? Obviously, those were three challenging games, and we're past that now heading into Indiana. What are your thoughts about the staff and where they're at and what our prospects for the rest of the season look like?
Well, you know, I would tell you that after an 0-3 start, and you know, you lose a game and give up 41 points there, you know, I've been in a lot of dressing rooms where that becomes a you know, a complaining and moaning and pointing fingers type situation, and you know, I won't get into the details of the talk, but I can tell you that, you know, Dan made very clear what's being done, what needs to be done, who needs to do what, and that, you know, people that think that just showing up and collecting your, you know, monthly stipend check and cutting some classes and not showing up on Saturdays is not tolerable and it's not going to be tolerated. And, I think after the game in Alabama, as tough as it was, and we played well in spots, but, you know, I mean, it's there were some differences there that make it tough on you. When he got into his speech, a lot of times after those games, you can see where some kids looking down, some kids mumbling under their breath, some kids, you know, it could be any of those things. And in that locker room after the Alabama game, you know, there were 70 sets of eyes on Dan McCarney. And a tremendous amount of respect for the man, for what he's trying to do. Yeah, there's still some folks that aren't totally bought in, or, to be honest with you, some of them that maybe can't get done what needs to be done. But all paying attention, being respectful, and ready to get ready for the next game. And, you know, I think the Indiana team comes in here. Of course, they're a Big Ten team, so, you know, they're going to have a certain amount of physical attributes they bring with them. You know, they've had a couple of losses here early in the season by 3 or 4 points, and then they played South Carolina State this weekend. But I, the one thing I have seen is that in areas of the team, we've gotten better every week. You know, you're playing three freshmen and a sophomore in offensive line a lot of the time, and the progress they've made from game one to game three, you know, even though we weren't real effective in some spots, you know, we didn't give up a sack against Alabama the other night.
That was impressive. That was very impressive.
It got better as the game went on, and you know, when you can do good things like that, but when you're playing a team like Alabama, you know, the speed and size is going to negate some of it. And so I think as we move out into the season and you know, we play some teams that are less physical, you know, maybe not as much quickness, I think that we're going to fare well. I think our kids, as you said, have gone up against teams that are now 9-0 overall. You know, all three of them expect to contend for their conference titles. And, you know, that's bad ADing by me. But, you know, when you sign those games, you know, you don't think Florida International is going to be that good as part of our conference schedule. And then, you know, when you schedule Houston 3 years ago, 4 years ago, you know, they weren't that the kind of team they are today. And so, you know, it makes for a tough schedule. But I think our kids will step up this week. I think they have had a great week of preparation. And, you know, I think, as I said, the rest of the season, I think we'll continue to get better.
How are ticket sales going for the Indiana game? I know
they're going good. There's a lot of tickets out there. Students are still picking up tickets in large numbers. Not quite the large numbers they were last week, of course, with it being the first game. And I think also because, you know, our preference would be that students pick up tickets early in the week, and we give them opportunities to do that at different places on campus. But after the first game, some guys that some students that just showed up with their IDs, we still let them in the game by getting a ticket. So I think you'll have some people figured out, okay, maybe I can still go to the stadium and get a ticket anyway. So we've had a lot of activity, and I expect a really good crowd. In fact, today when I was walked out onto the balcony, it was about 5 o'clock, and there were about 6 cars out in the parking lot behind Victory Hall, kind of staking out their spots for this weekend. And so I think people are still excited. They're buzzing about what's going on, and you know, I people want us to do well. The experience around the game, as we talked about before, can really make a special event that people want to be at every week. And so we think part of that is what's happening. It's becoming a social place to be on game days, and so I think it'll drive people there. And as we begin to win games, it'll drive them even more.
Hey, Rick, I know Kevin Sumlin had great things to say to both you and Coach Mack. Were there any other top Houston brass that attended that game that gave you any feedback at all about the stadium and the facilities?
Well, yeah. I mean, I toured the I toured the stadium with Mac Rhodes, who's the athletic director at Houston, earlier in the day, and he had a couple of Board of Regents members with him and a couple of donors, and took them on a complete tour from top to bottom. And, you know, when they were done, you know, they said, this is incredible. This is what we would love to have, and really actually more than what we've been looking at. And, you know, Mac Rhodes' comment to me was, has the conference commissioner been up here to see this? Because if he hasn't, he needs to. You know, and so they were thoroughly impressed. You know, everybody we had in the stadium, to be honest with you, was thoroughly impressed. And I know that what they saw on last Saturday, they, you know, they took back with them to Houston, thoroughly, thoroughly impressed.
Ari, you know, I know these questions are probably a little more aimed at Brian Mathea after, you know, the week before the first game, he gave us a real rundown of everything and everybody was really educated on it. But let me ask you a couple of things. Are there any changes? I know one of the things a lot of people really thought was a great idea was having the restrooms on that east side that opened up for all the tailgaters to use. Now, I know that you had to close them off once you started letting people in. Is there any plans to add more porta potties out there, or is it just something that, hey, we're going to close that particular bank of restrooms? Or are they going to be open later? A lot of people have questions about that. We did discuss that,
and we intend to leave the outside restrooms open for a longer period than we did before. And we will just those, you know, they won't be able to use those restrooms from the inside until about, you know, 30 minutes before game. You know, we hope that at 30 minutes, you know, prior to kickoff, people are coming inside the stadium.
Right, right.
And so, but it is our intention. It's one of the things that came up in our meeting, and we intend to leave those outside bathrooms open longer than we did in the initial game.
That was brilliant. Everybody liked having those there, and everybody couldn't believe them that there was actually restrooms for the tailgating area, like actually restrooms. So that was a brilliant piece of design. Anything else that from week one to week two, as far as home games, that sticks out in your mind, something that you can tell the fans about?
No, you know, there were a few things that took place in some of the club and suite level spaces. You know, food was really good, but it was a little, we ran a little behind. And so, you know, we've adjusted schedules and adjusted duties to make sure all those things are taken care of. I don't know that there, in all honesty, I haven't heard anything that would make me want to change what we did from a parking standpoint. You know, we polled a bunch of people, and, you know, most everybody said, you know, and it helped because people came in early. But people enjoyed the tailgating. They enjoyed the way the parking worked out, and they enjoyed the fact that they could get in and out of their out of the parking lots fairly fast. It rolled out of there pretty good. One of the complaints, you know, one of the things probably want to talk about is, you know, we have instituted a policy at the stadium that there's no reentry. And I know that there were some people that were upset that, you know, I don't understand why I can't go back out and you know, have five or six beers and then come back in the game. And that really is a risk management situation. It has become a standard in most stadiums around the country for that particular reason, because of the amount of risk that is involved with those people going out and taking in so much alcohol. So we had a few people that weren't aware of the no reentry policy coming in, so we're just trying to make sure that people know this week that that we do have that policy.
Yeah, I don't think, I mean, there was a few people that talked about the reentry deal, but I don't think that's, I mean, you know, that shouldn't be that big of a deal. You're there to watch the game and tailgate before, you should be fine. I'm sure people will email me for that. Let me ask you one other question, Rick, and this just concerns certain fans. The Junior Mean Green Club, you know, it's always been a big deal to be able to go down there and you know, be close to the football players when they run out. And I understand that you can't bring them out on the field, but is there any changes maybe to where, how it was done last week? Cause you know, the kids were all there and really they didn't, none of the football players, you know, did the hand thing. Is that something that's going to change, or can you tell us something about that?
Yeah, it is something we're going to tweak and something we're going to continue to make better. First game out, you know, we couldn't take any chances with, you know, our biggest challenge there is you have cross traffic and trying to stop cross traffic.
Right.
Even if you have kids that are there with, you know, as rope or something that we've had in the past, people want to try to pass across there. So we've got to look at, you know, I wasn't happy with the fact that the, you know, the barricades were tall, in fact, too tall for some of the kids to even see over them, and that the players couldn't get close to the kids. And that's really our whole reason for being there, for those kids being there. And so, yes, we're going to look at some subtle changes this time and really try to figure out what the best way to accomplish what we all want, and that's just that interaction between the players and the Junior Mean Green Club members.
Rick, one thing that a lot of people talked about is, you know, we had a lot of recruits at this game, and I know some people that mentioned they saw them. What does having this facility there, I mean, I'm sure you heard feedback from recruits' parents, somebody like that. I mean, does this facility really making a huge difference in the minds of the players, the recruits and their parents, of how they view North Texas?
It's not only having an effect on the recruits and their parents, but on the friends of recruits and parents. I mean, it's, you know, there are people going back to their, you know, to their cities, to their schools, and saying, you ought to see that. You've got to see this stadium. It's an unbelievable place. And we actually had a call from a young man this week and just about getting tickets, and he's on the recruiting list. And he was a guy that, you know, we were kind of hoping we could get there, and he was calling because somebody else had, one of his friends had come to the game the week before and had such a great time and told him how great a stadium it was that he wanted to come and check it out for himself. And I think the fact that, you know, we can't talk about recruiting and numbers and those kind of things as far as specific kids, but, you know, to have as many kids as are reported in the newspapers committed at this time, and a lot of those kids have been up for the first game, I think it does speak volumes about what the stadium is doing. You know, it wasn't that long ago, past 6 or 7 years, that we didn't have a commitment going into December. You know, we basically started recruiting in December, and now to have as many as 15 or 16 kids that are committed to our program, and I think a lot of it can be attributed to the fact that we have this new home that's a great place to watch a game and a great place to play a game.
And Rick, I know you can't talk about specific recruiting stuff, but just in general, can you just comment on this staff? You saw the previous staff and how they operated the recruiting process. Can you compare and contrast that to this staff and how they're operating recruiting? Clearly the results are there, but in terms of looking at what they do, do you see a big difference there?
Oh, there's no doubt. I mean, it's you know, it's a system I'm very used to, in that, you know, you're going to spend days sitting down watching junior film. You're going to watch it day long, all day long, day after day. And you know, from that, you're going to create a board. And you know, in Dan's staff, when I first went in, you know, I think there were probably somewhere in the neighborhood of 480 to 600 names on a board of kids that they looked at. And then they went through the process again and went through the process again until you mold it down to a workable number, and then you really look at, and this is an important thing, you really look at what your needs are. Some people just go out and get caught up in the fact that, oh, that guy's good, that guy's good, that guy's good, and let's just take those, you know, six guys, and all of a sudden you don't have a guy that plays this position or a guy that plays that position. So they also did a great job of they have a board where they go in and say, this is how many of these players we need, this is how many of these players we need, this is how many of these players we need. And once they go down that road, they now have a 1A, 1B, 1C, 1D, and they try to stay with that. And as those positions are filled, then they move to the other positions. Watching them work a little bit, sure, they'll deviate a little bit from it if there's a great, great player at a particular position, but they're not going to deviate so much that they lose the whole point of putting a team together and getting all the right pieces. So, you know, it's so much different in that you know, there was very little time spent in the actual preparation for recruiting. You know, getting ready in the summertime when our coaches got done with camps and other workouts that they had in cities, they came back and they immediately put together what was the basis of what the recruiting class would be, and we're ready to go. You know, and before, you would still have film sitting in boxes you know, come October, November, that needed to be looked at. So, yes, it's I think it's a pretty precise deal. I think it gives coaches an opportunity to you know, if they've got six receivers up there and they only need two, I think it gives them a real chance because of the organization to make sure that the two that they get, you know, are the best out of that six.
I got to give you a quick.
So I've been very impressed, and I've been very impressed the fact that you know, kids who are committed to us, who have committed to us through this process, they remain strong.
Yeah, it's an impressive class that we've already got on you know, verbaled on paper, and it's I think it's only going to get better. I got to give a quick plug, Rick, because my wife and I sat in the club section, and I got to tell you, that is the neatest atmosphere up there. She was just so impressed, and there was no stone left unturned. And I understand the club's not for everyone out there, but for those that are considering it, I got to tell you, I think it's the best value for your money. In terms of what you get in return, I had to say that because we had such a good time up there.
Well, it's and I think you know, I think a lot of friends went home and told their friends what a great area it was, because we've sold numerous club level seats this week.
Well, that's great to hear.
Of people that you know, somebody came and said, you need to see this, you need to be a part of this, or you know, or they had an extra ticket and brought some friends to sit in the club level seating, and I think even today I think we sold 10. So the number that we have available drops every week, and you know, I feel comfortable, as you do, Harry, that it's a great experience. Go to any event, and find a place that's really, you can sit down and eat and kind of be entertained, watch the games, have easy access to your seat, full service beverage service right there for you. It is an incredible place to watch a game, and it'll be full. I can promise you that.
Well, I think overall the whole game experience was great. Everybody loved it. Sitting there, you know, you let us go out there early and check our seats and what we thought about them. Everything was great. I think one thing we didn't realize, how much room there was between the aisle. When you were sitting there, you didn't have to get up to let somebody go by, which was beautiful. And one thing that I was pretty negative about was those seat backs. Because I saw them sitting in there in your office and was concerned about it. But I tell you, they were comfortable. So I got to give a props for you guys testing them out, because they were really good. Seat backs were great. So anybody who doesn't have seat backs, I recommend you call and try to get them installed.
Yeah, we actually tried three different types. And, you know, we the one we ended up with, we all felt was really comfortable. And so it was a we thought that was, you know, pretty successful. And, again, we've had people this week come in order.
Oh, that's good.
To be put in this week.
RV, what about Indiana? Are they bringing their band or cheerleaders, or do you know if they're bringing anything?
No, they're not bringing their band. They will bring their cheerleaders. You know, I was a little shocked that they wouldn't, you know, bring their band, especially, you know, when they're such a big music school and considered such a big music school. But that's a choice that they made, and you know, I hate that, but that gives you know. That gives our band, one of the best in the country, that much more time to play and be a part of our halftime. And so, you know, it doesn't bother me when opposing teams don't bring their bands in.
Okay, shifting gears, we got a bunch of basketball fans, and that group is growing by the day. I know everyone on the board is so excited about this basketball season and the players that have been recruited. You know, Tony Mitchell, I know, was at the game, the Houston game, and the guys walking around, it looks like there's, you know, a group of 100 fans following him everywhere he goes. I mean, we haven't had that kind of caliber of player.
Celebrity on campus.
Yeah, I mean, basically. So can you talk a little bit about basketball and give us your thoughts about that? I know it's football season, but we got a lot of people.
Hey, I mean, and it's, you know, it's this is a special group, you know, and my goal is I'm going to get on the phone and we're going to sell 2,000 season tickets, and we're going to get people in that arena to watch this team. You know, somebody asked me how I would describe them, and I said, you know, they're going to make you shake your head. For what? I'm not sure, but I can promise you that's they're going to make you shake your head, because they're either going to, you know, there are going to be a bunch of young puppies running around and make some mistakes, or they're going to be what I think they're going to be, is a kids who have so much talent in so many different areas between, you know, the big guys like Tony Mitchell and their ability to dominate around the rim from a Chris Jones and his ability to dominate from the outside and create situations and, you know, all the way through. This is an extremely, extremely talented group. And the great part about this group is they've been playing together for a while. You know, this is three of these guys have been playing on a regular basis for the last 3 years. And so to bring in that talent and to be able to bring them in this summer, you know, they came in second semester this summer and play together most of last semester. I can tell you that this group is, you know, you don't want to get over and above your head, but, you know, we just got to watch some really great players in Josh White and Tristan Thompson and Georgia Dufour. And I think, you know, what the finished product will be, I'm not sure, but this group has all those tools and a lot more. And then you go back and throw in kids like, you know, Algie Williams. If you hadn't seen Algie Williams, you know, he's probably put on 18 pounds, 20 pounds, most of its upper body. It looks like a completely different kid, but ready to play, wants to play great defense and got himself ready to play great defense. And, you know, I think the young man that I've seen the most out of is Ketrick Hogan's. You know, it's kind of become his team. He's now the elder statesman. And so he has started to provide a lot of leadership in the weight room and other places. And, you know, I think this team is poised to take on a pretty tough schedule. And I think they're destined to have a lot of success.
Rick, we had a question, and if you can't comment on this, I understand, but people are asking about Roger Franklin and what his status of his waiver, and if you can't address it, that's fine.
No, Roger Franklin is in the waiver status, and you know, it's our hope and it's our hope that he will be approved in time for him to you know, to jump right in the middle when we get started.
Is there any Texas Tech or LSU series in the works for next year and beyond?
At this point, you know, we in the past we have done our schedules on a much on a longer base. You know, nowadays we're actually, you do them a lot closer to the season itself. People are looking for games, and you're trying to find the right games. You know, for us, we've tried to work, and I've worked with Johnny. We're trying to work regionally. I'm gonna work really hard with him to get SMU on the schedule. You know, there's no reason we shouldn't be playing, and in fact, there's no reason we shouldn't be playing TCU. And we'd like to get both those guys on the schedule. In fact, one of the things that we proposed is a holiday tournament every year where SMU, North Texas, Texas Arlington, and TCU, that we all play a holiday tournament. We shifted from venue.
That's a great idea. That's just a fantastic
idea. You get
to play
a three-game tournament where you get three games for the price of one, and everybody gets to play everybody. You know, we'd love to see that happen and keep a lot of people here in the Metroplex. I think generate a lot of interest in the Metroplex for basketball. You know, so, but yeah, I think you'll see us. Our goal in the near future is to have less, you know, single games like a Texas, and to have more of the series we've had, like with LSU or, you know, Texas Tech. And it may not necessarily be those schools, but to have the same kind of a situation where we have home and homes.
Any update from some of the other sports? I know sometimes they get ignored, but we have been seeing some improvement from the other sports teams. I know my wife and my daughter, who plays soccer, got to go out and see the women's soccer team, and they're pretty impressive. We enjoyed doing that. But can you just give us an update on the other sports?
Sure. You know, women's soccer beat SMU about 2.5 weeks ago and moved to number 10 in the region. And then unfortunately went out to California and had a couple of bad outings, lost a couple of matches out there. And but you know, they're talented, they're young. We're not a big team, but we're a pretty fast team. We get shots off. Unfortunately, this weekend one of our leading scorer is probably down for a couple of games, or could be. But, you know, there's a lot of talent there, and they've always been very competitive, and this will be a big big weekend for us because, you know, it's Western Kentucky and Middle Tennessee, and so those are two teams that have played well. Our volleyball team is playing extremely well. It's a young team. We've had a couple of injuries. One of our young freshmen who we picked to be a real star tore ACL, and so she's out for a while, probably not play this season. But despite that, they play very, very well. In fact, you know, they won the Islander tournament down in Corpus Christi and then came up in our tournament, ended up losing to Texas State, but won the other two matches that they played. And then this past week they had Texas Tech, and Texas Tech is 14-1 and ranked in the region and number 12. And we beat them up pretty good the first set and lost the second and third sets and then had them in the fourth set and couldn't get it done. But for a young team playing really well, getting ready to roll in the conference, feel good about them. Our two golf teams, the women finished third, or I'll take that back, fourth in a tournament that they played in last week, but beat two top 20 teams in the country and really had a tough finish on the third there. Actually would have beaten a third top 20 team. They ended up losing them by two strokes. And then the men's golf team finished second in their tournament and also beat two top 20 teams. And I look for both those teams to be ranked in the top 40 all season long and be back in postseason play this year. Tennis went up and had their initial matchup in Oklahoma this past week, and our two freshman players kind of cleaned things up. They had a great weekend. One of them winning her bracket by beating the other one in the finals.
That's great.
Well in doubles and a lot of talented teams at the Oklahoma tournament. So. Looking at really good things coming from tennis. Cross country, the women went down to this past weekend and finished second at the Baylor tournament, which is a really good finish for them, and they'll only continue to get better. So things right now are good. I mean, things are, you know, we can get better, but I can tell you the level of athlete and the kind of the coaches we have, we're getting things really done, it'll continue to get better. If you've never been to a women's soccer game or a volleyball game, I take the time to go watch these ladies play. It's exciting. People enjoy it. We had a record crowd the other night against Texas Tech at volleyball last season, or I take that back, this season against SMU. We had a record crowd for soccer. So people are coming out and they're watching them play, and it's going to continue to get better and better.
Rick, we can't thank you enough for jumping on late with us tonight. And just, again, kudos for the first game experience.
Yes.
I don't think it could have turned out any better. In fact, I didn't expect it to be that good.
I thought
there would
be
more
issues.
Bumps in the road.
There was no issues.
I parked right up by the – I mean, I pulled right in, parked, had no problems. Everyone I invited got there, no problems. I just didn't hear a complaint from anyone.
Yeah, you got the word out. People showed up early. Yeah, the weather was perfect. There was plenty of areas to go to. The restrooms, the game experience, getting out. I mean, everything was top-notch, and we really appreciate it. Excellent job. Well done.
Well, I appreciate that, and I appreciate my staff's done a really good job of that. And, you know, I want to close by saying that, you know, I know that people, you know, we talk about this conference movement and what's going to happen in the future. And believe me, there are people out there that respect us tremendously, especially who've now watched us grow and seen the facilities go up. And we all know we've got to play better football. There's no ifs, ands, and buts. But if we can get a couple of wins under our belt, I can tell you that, as I've said before, the thing that's going to make the difference is us putting people in the stands. You know, I mean, we can say that's not necessarily the case, but, you know, TCU's been kind of left out of the Big 12 the last two times it's happened, you know, because they were number two in the country and, you know, couldn't draw a full house. And, you know, I believe if we were number two in the country, we'd be filling the house. But we've got to show that we can draw people to a game and create excitement. I hope everybody will come out and come to the Indiana game and back this football team and get a win. And, you know, go forward from there and but really put ourselves in a position to dictate our own future.
I agree 100%. That's great. That's a great counsel on that. And I think if one thing that I'm trying to do, and I know others as well, I want to bring new people out to that and show off that stadium.
Exactly. It's a great experience.
I'm proud of that thing. I'm trying to show them. And I think when they get out there and see it, they're going to want to be a part of it too.
I don't think there's any doubt, and we're seeing a lot of that. We're seeing a lot of people that are, you know, have tickets saying, "I'm coming in. Do you have too close to a friend? You know, I want to bring two friends." And as we told a group tonight, that's what we want. You know, I mean, this is what's better than getting out on a Saturday afternoon and, you know, cooking up some brats or, you know, grilling some shrimp or whatever it is that you do with a bunch of friends. You know, in a lot like that where you have a bunch of people doing the same thing and. You got TVs going, and then the buses come out, and you know the players get out, and then an hour later we're walking in the stadium, we're kicking off a football game. It's just a great, great family experience, and you know, the more we build it, the better it gets.
Yeah, no doubt. We got another great weekend. It looks like a great weekend of weather. I mean, it's going to be clear, low 90s, high 80s, depending on which channel you watch, and you know, it ought to be a great experience for everybody, and a great game. It's Indiana. It's not a team we play all the time, so it ought to be great. Rick, we appreciate you being on with us once again tonight, so we'll look forward to hearing from you again in the near future. Thanks Rick.
Well, thanks guys, and we'll talk again soon.
Thanks. All right, that was the athletic director for the University of North Texas, Rick Villarreal. You know, it's great that Rick will spend the time, because you know he spends so much time up there. He's up there in evenings working on things. So just the fact that we can get him on here is great, and we do really appreciate it.
It's great. It's exciting times, and can't wait for Indiana, man. It's going to be fun.
It is, and I'm excited too. Tailgating, and so I think a lot of us. I think Harry, you said we're going to set up the tailgate operation a little over near Tony's meatball extravaganza.
Tony Barone is going to have. He has the best tailgate, and we're going to kind of have our Go Mean Green crew over next to him. So if you're coming out to the game, look for the sign. We're going to be right by the roundabout, kind of over by the Victory side, over there, as close to the hill as we can get. In the Victory lot, and would love to have you come by and visit with us and say hello.
Yeah, I don't think he's got enough meatballs for everybody, but definitely come and introduce yourself. Harry and I will be wearing the green Cuban shirts with the simulated wood buttons with the say gomeangreen.com on the front and back. Definitely introduce yourself. Like to hear from everybody. You know, this gomeangreen.com is more of a it's kind of a family for us.
Family.
As fans, and you know, soon we're going to be winning, and this small-town atmosphere is going to grow. So, you know, get to know everybody while you can here. Also, one other quick note. We do have a sponsor for the website, and Harry will be posting more about that. But one of the sponsors is this it's Fanatics.
Football Fanatics. They're a gear company that's going to help us with providing some outstanding Mean Green apparel.
So you can do
hats, shirts. They have even got a Lance Dunbar jersey. So you'll see.
One of the things that. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
No, I was going to say, you're going to see the banner ads up on the site. Check it out. Evan's used it. I've used it. It's a good. It's a great service. Good shipping. Great product. Good price.
And one of the things is there's women's selection there. That's actually
better than the men's.
Yeah, they've got some good women. There's like a little dress there too. I mean, there's several different things there. So I know that'll be popular, and the prices are pretty good. Two ways to go to it. You can click on the banner. You can also click on shopgomeangreen.com. We've tried to keep this a free site. Try to keep it where you don't have to pay for subscriptions, and that's fine, but we want to be able to give back to the athletic department. We want to be able to do more things and shirts and things like that. So this just kind of helps us get to that place. So if you're not going to go up somewhere local and get it, and you have the option, you know, at least check it out for us. With that commercial, we will leave it alone, and we will see you guys this weekend. Hope to meet you soon. Go Mean Green.
Go Mean Green.